All right, welcome back to another episode of Seeking Scale. Andy Baldacci, how's it going?
It's going well-ish. It's like the stresses of a new season are really upon me, where it's trying to get everything out the door for baseball, which is coming up next week. And so it's like, I just keep thinking I can, in advance, I think I can do way more than I actually can. And then when it comes down to it, I'm always like, oh shit, there's like 1,000 things I don't have to do. And it's weighing on me a bit right now, but we're moving forward. We're making good progress. How are things going on your end?
Good. Things are busy as always. You know, we've talked a lot on the show about hiring and culture, and I feel I kind of kick myself sometimes because I talk about or I think about things that are kind of like hypothetical or kind of whimsical on the show. But the reality is we've hired 4 people in the last month, and we're halfway through onboarding them right now. So we've onboarded or in the process of starting to onboard 2 developers, and then we have a support person starting next week and another one starting about 10 days after that. And so, yeah, it's a lot of documentation. I'm recording all these product videos, like internal facing product videos. So me just flipping on the mic and talking for 10 minutes about how RSS feeds work or how this integration works and showing, you know, what I do and what I see and showing the database a little bit so that our new developers can see it. So our new support folks can see it. Like when a marketing person comes in, they can see it and they can understand like, this is what a thing is. This is how it works. This is why it's important. This is who it's for. So yeah, I mean, you know, why we haven't had this the whole time and why I don't make these when we release a feature, you know, I think like that's another thing is like, this is good as we release new features for training support people, because we're going to be releasing a big new feature probably tomorrow. That product video should exist as soon as this thing is live. So yeah, just a lot of documentation around process, and it's all just like knowledge transfer. One of the interesting things is I've been working with like a CTO coach, even though I'm not a CTO. Mm-hmm. Like I had gotten in touch with this person when Jonathan, who was our lead developer before, was still with us and wanted to kind of do some things to help kind of groom him up to that kind of CTO level. And the guy that I chat with was like one of the co-founders of Travis CI. It's like a continuous integration, it's a developer tool kind of thing. Anyways, one of the things he suggested is that, you know, we're onboarding these new developers, that they should pair program with our more kind of tenured developers. So that's kind of from a development kind of practical standpoint, we're going to be introducing pairing to our kind of development culture here soon, which we've never done, but everybody I talk to says, cool, like that would be fun.
Both have the developers kind of done guys. Pairing before?
It's like a spectrum, you know, like, you know, live pairing, you know, to me sounds like really intimidating, you know, like me thinking through and executing a thing. Like if I had to write a blog post live with you watching, I would be like super fucking nervous, right? And I think they would be too. And I'm sure there's some like getting used to that. But I think what we're talking about more is like to start with what I would call right after this with our lead developer to kind of formulate a plan there. But I think what we'll do is like, okay, we're going to have a thing, right? We're going to build a thing. Our 2 developers kind of over here are going to work on this thing together. The more they have a call maybe every day for the next month to talk through like, okay, this is what we're going to do today. This is what we did yesterday. Kind of what are you thinking? What are we each thinking in terms of how we're going to approach this thing? So it's not like they're coding together, but they're talking a lot and they're talking about how they approach things, how they, you know, conceptualize this thing that they need to do. Do they have all the resources they need? It's not like as passive as just like a code review and someone's done, but it's not as real time as like, let's get on Zoom or Tuple, right? Not all of our guys are on Mac, but you know, get on Tuple and actually code this thing together. So I don't know, do you guys do any of it?
We're close to what you're talking about now. And the reason I asked if anyone on your team had like experienced pairing was that was ultimately what I think prevented us from doing more of it is obviously I'd listened to Ben Orenstein a lot and just hearing about pair programming and like digging into it a bit on my own, where like it logically makes sense to me. Like, yes, I can see how this would be a very effective way to onboard a new developer, especially. It's like walk through, like literally doing the activity, because talking about it in advance is different than like navigating through it. And especially when you get like different time zones, you're going to have a lot of issues where people just get stuck on something that doesn't matter. or that could be resolved in like a minute if you had someone on the call with them. And so it was when we were working with a developer in Russia, and there was a lot of communication issues, not in terms of language, but like in terms of just the lag in between communication and just like things taking way longer and not really knowing what's happening. I mean, it just felt like if we could have had a couple hours of pair programming a day, that would have resolved a lot of it. But Matt didn't really push back, but I think he just didn't really know what pair programming actually entailed, like wasn't comfortable like driving it. And we now do something that's close to what you're saying, where it's like, we'll get the two programmers on a Zoom call to do something more thorough than just code review, to kind of talk through things. Like if someone's blocked, get on a call, walk through it. But as we're starting to think more about bringing on new developers, I want to like go full on pair programming for at least a decent chunk of the day in the very beginning, because I just feel pretty strongly that this is me as like a non-technical person, but like it just logically makes so much sense to me that this is going to be one of the most efficient and effective ways at getting someone up to speed. But I also just think it's hard if you don't know how to actually do it.
Yeah. I don't like, it's on our agenda to talk about tomorrow in our dev meeting. So stay tuned, I guess, to see how like, you know, the discussion with the lead developer goes today, and then like rolling it out to the team to see, like, cause we've never done it. I don't know if any of them have done it. Like I talked to our newest guy today, cause we just have like a you know, kind of catch up call. And he said he really likes the idea, but he's never done live pair programming, but he's done like a lot of, I'll say just like more intensive working together. But this is also the first time we've ever had multiple people working on the same project. There's always before, like you work on this, you work on this, you work on this. And whenever any of you are done, you deploy it. Now it's like, we're going to have four people working on basically the same project and kind of pairs of two of them working on specific parts of it together. So yeah, we'll see.
It looks like there is a tuple pair programming guide. So I'm probably going to dig into that to just get a little bit more familiar with it so that I have something I can point people to. Yeah. And it's like one of the videos is why your engineers are afraid to pair. And so I think it is something where people are hesitant if they haven't done it much. But yeah, it just seems like such a powerful tool. So I'm excited to dig into that. But yeah, I mean, the big thing I'm feeling right now just around the hiring is just how much time it takes to do it well. And then it's the planning for the figuring out exactly what the role will entail, or as much as you can, doing interviews, going through resumes, finalizing the offer. For us, like we've been doing more hiring in the US, and so it's for W-2 employees. So it's like making sure all of that stuff is in order with the different states, going over the contracts. But then it's the actual onboarding. And even once they're up to speed, because there aren't other layers of management, it's now that, okay, like they're reporting to me. So now I have like extra management responsibilities on top of it. And yeah, what I've just felt recently is that the marketing side of things, like my independent contributor tasks, have just fallen completely to the wayside because there's so much coordination that I'm doing on the redesign and with other contractors, and then managing the new teammates and all of that, where it's like just not making progress there. And it's been frustrating. But I think what has made me realize is like, unless I bring in someone else to manage the people, like this is what it's going to be.
That's all you can ever do.
And there is more work that I'm sure we can do to just like streamline our processes better, just minimize some of that burden, but it's always going to be there. And I think what I'm seeing now, so we just, before we hit record, extended like the formal offer to someone who's kind of, we had billed it as like a daily fantasy sports, a DFS coach, but it's really like a customer success role. But as I dug into it more, it's more of like a content marketing role, where a lot of the content they'll be creating will help people be more successful and get more value with and from the product. But I want someone with a marketing mindset more so than like support or really even success mindset. It's like, I'm not necessarily trying to get people who are going to upsell and that. It's like, I want people who understand the problems and can help our users get more value from it. But really it's like creating content that will help us sell and keep customers, which I guess is success. But I view it, yeah, as someone who can supplement me on the marketing team. And I think once we get them up to speed, they'll be able to pick up a lot of the tasks that I've just kind of abdicated until now.
Mm.
And when I feel like there's progress being made on the marketing side, I think I'll be able to give myself more permission to feel okay with like the less of the execution of everything else, where it's like, okay, like everything's moving forward in all the areas, maybe not as fast as I would like or in the exact way I would like, but things are moving forward. I'll give myself permission to focus on management, but also on like taking a step back and thinking about process and improving how we're working and that kind of thing. But like right now, it's just, I can never justify it when there's so much shit that's just not getting done. And that's obviously a self-fulfilling prophecy to some extent, where it's like, if I never take a step back and solve the root cause of some of these issues, they're not going to go away and I'll never have time like to do it. But I think getting this higher in place will let me just, yeah, have a bit more freedom to work in those areas.
So I'm in a similar boat where, I mean, just hiring all these people and me being responsible for onboarding at least some of them in some ways, yeah, all of my other kind of responsibilities are out the window
right.
for the next month. But I kind of say like in that month, after that month, we're going to have, you know, 5 developers and 3 people in support. And that is, you know, 1 support should be like almost entirely off my plate, you know, and then the development team should be doing everything that we need to in terms of like our product velocity. So yeah, I kind of look at it as a short-term investment. Like, hey, if we do this now and it's, you know, it has a time when it's done, air quotes, then, you know, I feel better about, you know, kind of investing and sacrificing and giving up some of the things that I should be doing otherwise, you know, elsewhere in the business, at least just to, you know, start doing it again in April or May.
I struggle with is I think the extra sense of pressure that I add around the start of a new season. And it's like, that's, I think, where I get a lot of urgency from is like, all right, baseball's coming up like this. We know, I mean, historically, we would literally double every baseball season. And then it would slowly go down. Then football would come, we'd get a big boost, slowly go down. And then basically baseball season would come around again, double. I don't expect that kind of growth at the scale we're at now, but I do expect significant growth. And we do get a lot of like massive increased organic traffic because at the start of a season. And so I've always been skeptical of just like how long this will last of just like DFS. I don't think it's just a trend anymore. It has been established and like it is still growing, but I don't know. There's some part of me that always just feels like the tide could turn at any point. So like I have to just grind really hard right now and take advantage of all of these bumps that I know are going to come. And that's where it's like, I get that we have to take a step back and invest in process and slow ourselves down on the IC side of things to invest in building up the business and company side of it. But then I'm just like, well, fuck, like I'm going to like, if we don't get everything in place or as much as we can in place for this massive bump that is going to come, I'm leaving a ton of money on the table. And how many more of these seasons are we going to have before things kind of plateau? And so that's where it kind of gets me is just like, I think if this were December, January, it's like easier for me to slow down because we're in the middle, like nothing's happening for a few months and I can relax. But it's around these times where I just don't want to take my foot off the gas on doing my own work. But at the same time, I know I have to. So it's just like one of those mental things I have to navigate myself, really. I feel like.
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I wonder, I think a lot about like, do we take ourselves too seriously? Or do we think that like what we're doing in these businesses are too important or more important than they are? I think about that a lot. It's like, if I just kind of like take my foot off the pedal a little bit, like what will really happen? You know, like we'll still grow. The business will still be here in 6 months. Sometimes I think like I need that, you know, and especially, I mean, just fucking COVID and everything just being really hard. Sometimes I kind of give myself that mental space to say like, this is not the last chance that I'll ever have to run this business. You know, if I take a couple hours off early today and, you know, whatever, tackle this thing tomorrow, you know, my customers are not going to be pissed. The world's not going to fall apart. You will probably have another season of baseball starting. So like, I don't know. And that's very much not me, but I think sometimes you just have to say that.
Yeah. For me, it's like we've had a pretty rapid growth trajectory. And so it's not like it was that long ago where we had a significant burn. It wasn't like we were having a lot more issues than we do now. And it just was a much more tenuous relationship with the business of like, we weren't default alive.
Yeah.
And you so remember that now. Yeah. And so it's hard for me to lose that, especially coming through COVID where, yeah, like it was 4 months with zero revenue and we rebounded quicker and got to new highs very quickly after that. But it's just like, yeah, I think just in the back of my head, it always is, I don't know if it's imposter syndrome or what it is, but it's like, this is something chirping at me. Like, this isn't going to last. This isn't going to last. And then it's like, all right, I just have to move faster, have to move faster. And a lot of it's not healthy by any means, but I think a lot of it is, it's one of those like chip on your shoulders or whatever it may be that does help drive faster growth at a cost. So it's kind of a double-edged sword there, but rant aside or venting aside, it's like, I do think that I've noticed it on the other parts of the business where getting people in place to at least move the ball forward has given me permission to take that step back. And where it's felt like worse is the marketing side, because like I'm the marketing guy, like that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And I just don't have the time for it. So it makes me feel like doubly bad, where it's like, if it's support, if it's other things where I have to do it, but it's not really like my value add, it was easier to not neglect, but just not stress out about as much. But when it's like the thing that I really am supposed to be owning is just not getting done, that's where it gets tougher. And so I think, yeah, getting someone in place to help me at least just like move things forward will let me get to that spot where I can take a bit of a breath.
This is a really interesting topic to me because, you know, we've hired folks for product and we've hired folks for support, which I think, you know, are kind of two of the main pillars of a business, but then like growth is the other one, right? So like sales and marketing is like the next natural place to invest in, and you've invested there. So I'd be curious to hear, like, how did you think about, we're going to hire this person to help with growth and they will do that by X and Y and Z? Like, how did you think about specific things, or you say like, we need a marketing person and they can figure out what to do, or I need a person to do this thing? Like, how did you think about like, we're going to invest in people to help with growth and that means this? Like, what did that look like?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, by now that I hate the idea of hiring and having the person you hire figure it all out. I just think in a non-venture backed company, so where you don't have not infinite running, but you don't have tons of money in the bank and you're not trying to make dozens of hires, it's going to be very difficult to get someone who can. You're not going to be able to pay for talented people who have proven that they can go in and figure this out from scratch. So then you're almost rolling the dice on whether you can find that up and coming marketer or salesperson, whoever, who can, like, you're their testing ground and they will be able to figure it out. In our situation, that's like a risk I don't want to take. And so, yeah, I've focused on the things that work, or at least like already are showing that they have potential to work, in hiring for that. So like on SEO, we were getting traction there. I was fortunate at Groove. We had Matt Barbie as an advisor. He is, or at least at the time, I don't know what his title is now, but like was the head of global acquisition at HubSpot. And so like knows his SEO, like his job for a long time was like get them to rank for CRM or free CRM. And so just like we spent a lot of time with him as we were redoing Groove's blog and the architecture of it and all of that. So like I have a relatively strong understanding of technical SEO and all of that, and made sure to keep that in mind as we're building out our site. And that got us some rankings, not like amazing ones, but we were showing up in search and I was seeing potential there. So I was like, okay, we're onto something here. We've seen noticeable increase in search traffic. How do we double down on this? And so that was working with a consultant who can like take that off my place. It's a very specialized thing at our scale, does not require full-time effort. So that's like, in my mind, the perfect thing to bring in a trusted freelancer to run with. And then it's on the other side of it, it's the content side of things. And I just try to keep it as simple as possible. where it's like, okay, what are we, where do we need to improve in our funnel? We can always get more top of funnel, but like SEO can kind of be our focus for that. It's how do we get more people to convert during the trial? And then once they convert, how do we get more people to stick around? I think there's a lot of developments with the product that we're working on that will help on both fronts. So I always try to keep that in mind through design and all of that. But then on the marketing side, to me, it comes down to education. I just think we when I came on board, did a pretty big customer survey to get a good idea of like just the lay of the land and where we could improve, how people were thinking, the language they were using, all that. And we just did another one a few weeks ago. And by analyzing that, it just seemed, I don't have like a way of saying like, here's a framework I went through to figure out what to do. But it, to me, just like hearing where people were getting stuck that didn't convert, but also hearing what people who did convert said, like how they described. So one of the biggest things was that our customers described one of the main benefits of SaverSim as like saving them time. The people who didn't convert said that one of the things holding them back from playing DFS more, doing better in DFS, was their lack of time. So it's like, okay, there's clearly a disconnect here where these people get it. And once they get it, they're like, this solves my problem. But we're not hitting on that clearly enough, and we're not helping them get up to speed fast enough. And so by digging more into it, it was like clear that just some of them just weren't understanding the process enough. And that helped by going to support. So to me, the short of it is that it just seemed clear that education was needed to be a stronger component. And I don't have the bandwidth to execute on that, but I have a pretty clear strategy like what needs to get done. And then there's a handful of other just like best practices that we weren't doing, where it's like, we haven't updated our help docs in a very long time. The screenshots are like dramatically out of date. We don't regularly email our list. We probably do better than like most companies, but it's maybe like monthly rather than weekly. And there's just other content that's just like too ad hoc. And so for this role, I'm looking for someone who can pick up those pieces. And it's not someone to come in and point us in a different direction, experiment with new channels and figure new things out. I do want them to take some ownership in developing the strategy with me, but their immediate focus is going to be on executing the things that we know, like the best practices that like emailing more is not going to be bad. Updating our documents is not going to be bad. Combined with like somewhat experimental with like the educational content, but not really. So the long story short is I don't think this is a position that we're taking big risks with. It's something that partly through my own marketing experience, but just like through the research and knowing the company and the customers and all of that, it just seems pretty obvious to me like what we need. And I think if you're hiring for something outside of your core competency, it might not be as obvious. And I don't really have great insight into how to do that. But on the marketing side, it's like, I'm going to be the guy that does more of the experimentation. And when I feel like we're onto something, then I'm going to fill in behind me and have someone iterate and keep executing while I go to the next thing. And that's kind of where it netted out for this role. Does that help or make sense?
Yeah, for sure. I think that the reason I ask is, but well, like, first of all, I think that like, you know, we have that role in Matt, right? He's our director of podcaster success. And like, it's been transformative in him creating a lot of content that is really educational, but has a lot of brand to it and is marketing driven to some extent. So it serves like all that content serves two purposes, and it's great. And then the person that we have kind of managing support, we've kind of elevated and shifted her focus a little bit to, we call it customer experience manager. I think we talked about this last time. So she will kind of be the manager of the two support people that we're bringing on. So, you know, in 3 months when they're, you know, really kind of at full steam, I think they will be handling a lot of like first tier support, and she will be doing things like optimizing the knowledge base and like having more product experience focus. And so I think that those areas that you're touching on are like really, really, really important. I look at more like the top of funnel stuff almost as like, yeah, we do content, it works, you know, traffic is growing, all that kind of stuff. We do SEO and that's all like great. But like, I don't know, I just kind of have in mind, like, I want to double our growth rate, you know, like how can we hire someone to double our growth rate? Is kind of like the beginning of what I'm thinking about with this. It's like, and I know that that's not the right question to ask, maybe. That's the kind of thing I think about when I think about like, how can we invest in growth, right? That's sales and marketing. I don't know. I kind of get lost like a little bit after that, because like we're doing a lot of like the education stuff in Matt and Kim, we're doing the like customer experience and like increasing trial to paid conversion ratio. And then, you know, reducing churn through better kind of customer experience and support. But then like, yeah, I think if you're already doing SEO and content, and see, we do a ton of see, both, this, like how so do we get outside
where,
of that?
This is where I'd push back, because it's not a binary thing. It's not that you're already doing SEO, so like that box is checked. Like if your True. Goal is to double growth rate, you can absolutely, I would almost guarantee, do that without new channels, new tactics, new strategies. Like sure. I would say, okay, like you're primarily working, you have someone who's a writer and you have the same freelancer that I'm working with on SEO. It's like, I would consider bringing SEO in-house and like really not even just doubling down, but like tripling down on that. Whether it's, and it's probably not creating twice as much content. It's probably figuring out what are the keywords that are driving the best traffic. How do we get those to rank higher? That side of things. It's like, if you're trying to double a growth rate, that's still a lot, but like, I don't think you need to reinvent the wheel for that. And then it's like, okay, on the experience side of things, on that side of things, the customer success, you have enough trials coming in where I think you can think more about the product ladder and saying, okay, one, are there upsells that we could push people towards? We have a ton of customers. How can we get them to just like our current customers, how can we get them to spend more with us? How can we provide more value to get them to want to spend more with us? And yeah. then it's on like the stuff Matt's working on. It's like, we have all this branded educational content. How do we make sure we're capturing as much of that into our funnel as possible? Like, I don't think it's a question of like reinventing the wheel at all. I think it's finding ways to get more out of what you already have. If the goal is doubling growth rate, I think if the goal is like 10xing, I don't even know. I think you would probably have to start thinking a little bit broader, but a lot of it would have to come down to finding ways to get people to spend more money with you. Sure, you would have to really increase top of funnel, but like you probably add in some paid, but to make paid work, you'd have to have a stronger funnel. Like, I don't know. There's a lot there, but I think you might be overcomplicating it.
Yeah, no, that's healthy to hear. And like, I do think that, you know, we look at what we do and we have, yeah, I think a part of the problem we have is we have a lot of stuff going on, and me as the glue between a lot of those things is really weak, you mm-hmm. know, because it's only whatever, maybe it's 20% of my time, but it's really probably like 5. And like, yeah, maybe a person to think about, like we have this academy, right? Academy.castles.com. Which is like a bunch of free courses that Matt and I did, and they're entirely free. Like you have to put your email address in. And, but then like we have a drip sequence that the people go through there, but then like that, I'm sure that's lame. So the failed trials, you know, someone goes through there 14 days. If they don't become a paying customer, then we email them like 2 or 3 more times, you know, and it's just like all of those things just need attention. You know, and I think that's what I would say. And like for me to say we're going to hire a marketing person to just pay attention to all those things feels a little soft, but I do think that's like what they need is they need that extra tweak and that extra focus to kind of further optimize what we're doing.
I think you're right. And I think that's why for me, this is a lot easier because I kind of want to be that glue to hold things together. Like at least for the foreseeable future, I want to own the overall marketing strategy and make sure that what we're doing is as efficient and effective as possible. Like it's all working well together. And that's not you, and that's great. But it's like, I don't think you need a marketing person to keep tabs on it. I think you need someone who like owns it.
Yeah.
And they are driving it, which is like, it might be nuanced, but it's like, I think it's not someone who's just like reporting metrics and just like making sure everything's moving forward. I think too many companies do that. I do think if what you're feeling right now is some, like I, now that you talked about it more, it's like, yeah, you do need someone to fill that role. And that role is much more strategic. It's really like a head of growth, a head of marketing who can take a step back and say, rather than trying to keep everything going, is saying, what's working, what's not, how could this work together? Is there anything we should just cut? Is there anything we should start doing? But like, how does this all work towards the greater strategy? And I think that's why you do see a lot of companies that, especially at our size, fall into the position similar to you, where it's like things are working, but there's just kind of five or six things just like going forward independently. And there are a bunch of tactics, whereas there's not as much strategy. And so it seems like that's the strategy part is what you're missing. And like, that's a hard position to hire for, but it seems like that's more what's missing, rather than like someone to help with sales or someone to help with this. It's like, no, you need someone who can put together that big picture.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the other part of, you know, kind of this question is like, I have no extra time right now because we're, you know, hiring and onboarding all these people, but then in a month, you know, a lot of this will be off my plate. You know, can I kind of properly step into that role? And is that the most appropriate thing, as you're talking about, like you want to be that person, maybe like, maybe I need to just really dedicate a fair chunk of my time to that stuff.
Right. Cause I think you're capable of that, obviously. And like,
capable.
I think at our scale, we just don't need to complicate things. So it could even just be a situation where you spend some time to figure out the game plan for the next 6 months. And then it's just, you're not as active in it, but like, you know, the game plan, you know what people are working on to get things more cohesive, and then can execute and then check in periodically. Like, that might be enough for now, but who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot we both had to figure out as we're navigating these hires and the scaling and all that. So I'm sure we'll have more stresses from my side and hopefully learnings from your side as we go through this.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think it's fun. I like just kind of the framework use of like, figure a thing out and then hire, you know, get a resource in to really dedicate to that thing. I think that's really healthy. So that's the thing I'll take away from this. Awesome. So it's good to catch up, Andy, as always.
Yeah, good talking to you. Everyone, thanks for tuning in, and we'll be back next week.